Isaiah 53, it says, "Who hath believed our report?" You know, the Bible said their sounds went into all the earth. But then, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So, by this, reading this little bit here, it's very easy for us to see one thing. And I say this to you by being able to see this. And that is, people who are trying to make it into the kingdom of God by their own righteousness or their own doings or their own justification, or they're trusting in the ritualistics of their own life that they call holiness or whatever, they are a miserable person. And there is no hope for them to have the feeling of being more holier than someone else. There is no hope for you in that kind of condition. To feel that you are a holiness person, that you are holy and living right, you know, and you put the rest of the world out as dogs and as swine, and you feel that you are living holy, you don't realize how wretched you are. And you don't realize how unforgiving you are, how cruel you are, and what a terrible mess you are in the sight of God. Even the Jews that really did have some strength as self-denial, as to fasting or whatever, as to withdrawing from things, even going through the ritualistics of Moses, even they did have something, whereas people of today are just making believe. But they really did have a constraint. But even they, Jesus said, "Thou more holier than me, I don't want to be around you." And then he gave the little passage of scripture there as to the story of the man that came before God expecting to be justified in that he had fasted, in that he had given of his substance, in that he had done all of these things. And God frowned on him. And then the man that had done nothing that came and ask forgiveness, God forgave him. That is, someone would say, "Well, that means that, Brother Pike, though I know the right way, I can go out here and do wretched, and all I got to do is just come back to God and say, Lord, forgive me, and He'll take me to heaven, you know. No, it doesn't mean that at all. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. And to him that knoweth to do righteousness as to do good, it's required of him, and it will be required of him. As to much, much will be required. As to little, little will be required. Whatever is given to you. But as to the man that came that knew not to do his Lord's will, the Bible said he'll not escape. He'll be chastened, but the Bible said with few stripes. You know, I say again that ignorance, as the judge says, that is no excuse for violation of the law, because the law is all around you. So then we see this and we understand that we cannot be justified by our own righteousness. There is nothing that you've ever done that is righteous. You know, I've said to someone, but I fasted. What does that have to do with righteousness? I've known people overseas. Some of them, what's his name? Mahapagander. I speak of him sometimes. Went, what was it, about 80 or 90 days, I believe he went. How long? 80-something days. And there was no righteousness about it. When you fast, there's no righteousness about it. You just get an empty stomach, that's all. Show me how that can be righteous. You know, because your tummy is crying for food and you refuse to give it to it for 10 days, we'll say, what's righteous about that? You know, if you failed to give your dog food for 10 days, if he didn't die, you wouldn't think he was righteous at the end of the 10 days, would you? If a man that was drinking booze, if he got without food for 10 days, you know, and couldn't get his whiskey for 10 days, and he came to you, would you think he was righteous because he'd been without food 10 days? There is no righteousness in starvation. There is no righteousness in doing without food. Somebody said, well, I got on my knees and I talked to God. Well, that all depends. It depends on whether you are a righteous person or not. Somebody said, but I prayed all night. That don't mean nothing. Where is righteousness in saying something all night, mumbling to yourself all night? Where is righteousness? Or standing up in the synagogues to pray, making long prayers for pretense. Where's righteousness in your quibbling and mumbling? There's nothing righteous about it. That's just a lot of words. That's all it is. See, there's no such thing as you doing righteously. Somebody said, but I don't smoke. That's nothing. I don't chew. That means nothing. You got a little better sense than somebody else. You know, you don't put filthy things in your mouth and mess up your lungs. There's no righteousness in that. But I go to church. No righteousness in that. People do that. Catholic, the Pope, he's a regular fella. He just about lives in the church. See, there is no righteousness in anything that you do. Not anything that you do. Not anything that you do. So then righteousness is one thing, that is God. Jesus made it clear, the rich young ruler had kept all the commandments, so he said. But Jesus went on to explain to them, there's none good but God. If there's none good but God, then where does that put me and you with all of our efforts? If you'd like to dispute that, you can have a talk with him tonight about it. There is none good but God. None good but God. How far then does your righteousness extend in your efforts? Jesus said, just do whatever you want to and say one word against the Holy Ghost and I'll cut you off. I'll never look at you again, so to speak. That's the end of it. That's how much strength your righteousness has. Someone said, well, do you think it gets any deeper? Well, it gets deep enough that the Bible said you're going to be judged according to your thoughts, the very secrets of your heart as to your thinking, not your gossiping and backbiting and tearing down and coming against God. The time you get that far, you done got to be wicked. The Bible speaks of the wicked forsaking his deeds. When you do those things, see, that's wicked. When you do wrong, you are wicked. Let the wicked forsake his deeds. But Jesus said, when you think wrong, you're unrighteous. Let the unrighteous forsake their thoughts. So then just thoughts, and you're unrighteous. We're to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus, that we meditate in his laws day and night. Charity thinketh no evil. And if we don't have charity, the Bible said we're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So when you think wrong of your companion, when you think wrong of your children, when you think wrong of your neighbor, when you think wrong of your enemy, when you fail to love your enemy, to do good to your enemy, to pray for them that despitefully use you, you are unrighteous. And if you try to get revenge, you are then wicked. So we see there's none good but God. When we judge ourselves and we use these measurements, we know that when we measure ourselves by these measurements, there is none good but God. So you're not going to get good enough to get a gift, and you're not going to get good enough to prophesy. You're not going to get good enough to speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues all you want to. That don't mean you've got a thing. It don't mean you're righteous. So the rain is upon the just and the unjust. See, and whatever you do is being religious, the unjust can do the same, and that the rain's on them. But righteousness is of God, and God is a spirit. And goodness is of God, and God is a spirit. And if you have not His spirit, you have not His goodness. If you have not His spirit, you are not righteous. You may be a believer, but you are not righteous. When you have His spirit, then are you righteous, and then are ye of Him. And it is Christ in you, the hope of that righteousness or eternal life or the glory of God. So we see that people that are going through their holiness, ritualistics, and long dresses and frowning on others or staying away from short pants as men and whatever, it doesn't mean a thing. Some of them are the most wretched people I have ever met in my life. Some of the most conniving, some of the most undemanding, some of the biggest hypocrites I have ever seen. Jesus apparently had never met people as wretched as the Jewish people in all of His lifetime as He went to and fro in the world. Nowhere did He meet anybody like the Jews. As a matter of fact, the Jews were so wretched. Paul said, "You're so wretched that the wrath of God has come upon you to the uttermost." And He turned to the Gentiles who didn't even confess God, who didn't seek after God. And the Bible said the Jews were seeking after God every day. Never did find God because they did it as their own ability, as their own righteousness, and was as wretched as they could be. And Paul said, "You kill everybody that God sends to you. Even the Master Himself, you gave way that He might be crucified at Calvary." So, a lot of times you that confess Christianity, you are the most wretched people that ever live. You get into a more holier-than-thou condition, or you get into calling yourself holiness, or going with a holiness group, and you just get downright contemptible in the sight of God, and He frowns on you, and you wind up, something bad happens to you, some disease or some bad something happens, and you just God just pours His wrath out on you, and you're talking about being holiness all the time. And doing holy all the time. I met some people in my life in the holiness churches, which is the cream of the crop as to them that really live for God. But they were the most wretched devils I ever met in my life. And yet there were regular in attendance. There was a thorn in the side of the minister. Some just stooped lower than dogs. Their morals wasn't as good as a dog. Backbiters, troublemakers, drifting around from place to place, always causing problems. But folks, let me tell you, let me give you a little advice as to some good thinking. If you want to live right, if you want to be holy, if you want to be godly, then go somewhere, call on the name of the Lord, and ask Him to save your soul by letting His Spirit come into your life. And when His Spirit comes into your life, it doesn't matter how many times you stumble from lack of knowing what to do, from lack of development, or even if you are making an effort to do right. It doesn't matter how many times you stumble, you will never find yourself defiled. You will never find yourself unrighteous. You will never find yourself wicked. You will never find not one thing charged against you, and the evil one, out of all those things, will never have touched you one time during that whole time. You'll be without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish by the Spirit and righteousness of the Son of God. Because of your faith in Him, His Spirit came into your heart. God purified your heart by faith of Jesus Christ. His Spirit came into your heart, and thus are you a son of God. Though a babe that don't know your right hand from your left, that hardly knows anything, that's stumbling and staggering like a little child, bumping his head over here and burning his hand over there and falling on his face and whatever, you're still God's precious little one. Now, there's not anything that'll ever be charged against you. But I don't care how religious you are and how perfect you try to live, though in your own eyes you are righteous, for the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. You know, in your eyes you're holy, and you've separated yourself, and you've come out, and you're different people, and you don't do those things. But even then, some of you are so wretched. It's true that you don't chew and dip and a few other things. You know, smoke. But the thing, your disposition, your character, your spirit is wretched. The Bible said you have a name that you live. Whereas all kind of church names. People said, I'm a Christian. He said, but you are wretched. You're naked, that is, without the garment of Christ. And you are blind. You're repulsive in His sight. And he said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. Vomit doesn't mean people that are in sin. To be vomit, you have to come and hear the word of God and then reject it or become hypocritical. And then lukewarmness, he spews you out of his mouth. And then you're in his church. You're on his benches because he spewed you out. If I spewed something out of my mouth here, it'd be right here where I'm at. So he said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. He said, you cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. Some of you, even the younger people that live here on the campground, you feed from the table of devils. Your mind is filthy. Your conversation is filthy. Your plans are filthy. You get to the TV or the radio or the record player and you have all kind of hippie sounds and filth in the sight of God, and God's going to cut you down like a tree. I'm talking about as a young person. So I said, well, when I live my life and I live X amount of years, He'll never let you do it. I guarantee you, a person that goes like that, that knows about this, as far as I know, unless a great miraculous thing takes place, God will allow Satan to kill them before they ever get to be a grown man or woman. He'll kill them. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. He said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are, but someday I'll meet you as a bear robbed of her cubs, and I'll meet you face to face, and I'll tear you into pieces. And he said, all nations that forget me, forget God, shall be turned into hell. When you say forget God, that just means forget the Word. In the beginning was the Word is God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word is coming forth from His temple to you, to your listening. And when you put this Word aside and you forget this Word and you go to deviating and trying to be evasive and get around this Word, then God will point you your part with the hypocrite and turn you into hell. All right. So, it's like George Jr. was telling me today about a man that's got this fabulous island, had it for many years. All of a sudden, he's taking cancer, he's dying. It's a paradise. But his wife was telling Rick, said, you know, one thing we do on this island, said, we don't allow talk of politics and we don't allow the talk of religion. So those two things really cause problems. So in that they don't, God's gently taking their little paradise away from them. And the man's about to die and he's got to go back into the areas of Florida and his wife has to return with him. Somebody else will be taking the island. So God will bear with you in a lot of things. But when it comes to putting your finger out, telling God what He can't do, and stopping talk about Christ, the Lord will just take all that you got away from you, and He'll drop you into the pit quick. So I know that some of you young boys and girls, I know you'll be killed. I know you will. You'll be killed. You'll lose your life. I know you will. Over to my left in this balcony here. I spoke of it a number of times in this balcony, along about where Brother Smith is sitting up there. In this balcony here, more than one time I've spoke of people there that Satan was going to kill. And as the one sitting there tonight, that Satan's going to kill him. Unless he does something, Satan's going to kill him. He is a terrible hypocrite. And he keeps a dirty mind. He's always doing filthy things and going after him, knowing that he's living on the campground and won't do anything to get away from him. And Satan will soon kill him. It'll come to pass unless he does something and does it real quick. All right, so then, we're trying to tell you that self-righteousness, like the Jews had, will never do. That self-righteous rags, it will never do. No matter what you try to do or how religious you try to be, self-righteous rags as to your own ritualistics, your own doings, your own thoughts, your own plans, your own programs, all of those things are an abomination in the sight of God. But if you'll get God's Spirit, He'll change your thoughts, He'll purify your heart, He'll take this body under control, and the first thing that you know, He'll have a reign on your body, and your body will be doing right. You'll be leaving the things as unlike Christ, not because you're trying to make yourself righteous. You won't be leaving these things to make yourself righteous, to say, I'm holiness, I don't do this and I don't do that. You'll be leaving these things because you are already righteous and already holy by His Spirit. And because you have this nature, as to the tree, as to the apple, you're beginning to bear fruit according to your nature. And the nature of that Spirit, as it was with Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, as in that body, so in your body, it'll put away the filth of the flesh. And it'll depart from unclean thoughts. And it'll depart from unclean things. And it will be holy and godly and pure, not as to those deeds being such, but as to the Christ within your heart, making your body holy. Because every time you put away something, every time you back off from something, the Spirit of God hath more freedom in your life, and it fills your branches with a greater strength and the wonderful life of God more abundantly throughout your being, as the more you yield, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, some bring forth 30-fold in fruit, some 60-fold, depending on your development as to understanding and your submission as to willingness. And folks, your righteousness as to Christ, He, the Bible said, when He appears, He, the Bible said, our righteousness. When He begins to do this and fill your heart, before you realize it, you'll be a holy, godly, like the Bible says, and my holy apostles and prophets. You'll be a holy, godly person. You just won't do the things that's unlike Christ. You won't take part in the things that's corrupt. You'll stay away from those things and people that would corrupt you or corrupt your good manners. You'll just automatically not want to be part of it. Like when I pulled up at the auction, I just turned around and come back. I couldn't take it. I said, this is terrible. I said, I must be different. I said, because I don't want this at all. This is detestable to me. I said, it's repulsive to me. I don't want to be around it. I went back to the truck and we left. See, it wasn't me going back to the truck that made me holy and godly and righteous. And I say, Brother Taylor, I'm a holy man. I wouldn't stay around that. I manifested my holiness by just walking off from it, you know, because I'm righteous, Brother Taylor. That wouldn't be true. It is true that righteousness manifested itself in my heart. And I felt like I shouldn't be there. And righteousness took me, as the mind of Christ, took me away from there. But me leaving there, that wasn't righteous. As other folks had left there, there wasn't nothing righteous about them. They might have had a different thought altogether about it. Just didn't want to be there. See, but God, who is righteous in me, because I loved Him and He loved me, He hath made my nature to be such that I don't want to be around things like that. I just, you know, it's repulsive to me. I just don't want to be around it. All right, so then we see here that it says that surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We didn't esteem Him, but He was smitten. He was afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the Bible said, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. by whose stripes we're healed. So, let me tell you tonight, we're going to close right here. Get away from self-righteousness. Forget about this thing of how holy you are because of what you've done. And think about being holy by faith in His righteousness and being saved and having eternal life by what He did for you and because His Spirit is within your heart, that by that you belong to Him. Forget about the other altogether. And someone said, well, what if I just quit living right? Well, if you can quit living right, that's the thing for you to do. Because all of what you thought was right, there was no righteousness about it. If you can quit living right, you need to stop today. You know, it's like an apple tree. I go up to the apple tree and I say, look, you quit bearing apples. I come back the next day and I say, why didn't you do what I told you? You know, it's bearing apples. Or if the apple tree could talk to me and say, I ain't going to bear any more apples. And I come back the next day and apples still on the tree. And I said, well, you told me you wasn't going to bear any apples. Yeah, it's just that nature I got. You know, it's just apple nature. They just automatically come out. Like the prophet said, he said, I ain't going to prophesy no more. But he said it was like fire shut up in my bones so I couldn't help it. And all of a sudden he was saying, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. You get a preacher, you know, a preacher, he'll sit down and think, well, people are tired of listening to me. You know, I'm going to talk. They're tired of listening. I'm just going to sit here and let my wife talk, my youngest talk, and let everybody talk. I ain't going to say nothing. And after a while, it has come pouring out. Pouring out. You listen to all you can listen to, and it just come pouring out of you. You know why? Because there ain't nothing else you can do. That's your nature. People that can quit living right, as they call it, they don't have anything to worry about. They've never lived right to start with. They might have tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost as to the rain being on the just and the unjust. But they've never lived right. As somebody said to me one time, said, well, can I do what I want to do? I said, of course. Do whatever you want to do. Like me, when I left that auction, I'd done what I wanted to do. You do what you want to do, because whatever your nature is, that's what you're going to do. You do whatever you want to do. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you about me, Brother Pike. I'm trying to live right, but I really want to go to the ball game. Gone to the ball game won't hurt you a bit. Gone to the wrestling match, go wherever you want to. Gone. And someday when you get born again, come back, you'll find out you don't have that want to. And even when the devil comes to tell you about how good it is, you'll say, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art a defense unto me. I don't want that. I love God. And I don't want the lust of the flesh, and I don't want the things of the world. And so I said, well, I know I love the Lord and I want to. I'm telling you from my heart. You may be a believer and you may love the Lord to the extent that you're trying to walk in the right direction. But let me give you some advice. You get born again. You get born again and you get God in your life because you're not born again. If a person wants one tiny little thing in their heart that's of the world, they're not born again. Not born again. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm telling you the truth. The Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Even that one tiny little bit. So then your head might run wild with you, and the devil is always trying to oppress the mind of humanity, to cause you problems, to cause you to lust after the things of the world. He never quits talking to you. But there'll never be a time, not one time in your life, that you'll want to go that way. Not one time. Not one tiny little inclination. Somebody said, well, I just find myself doing them things, Brother Pye. Well, let me advise you, be born again. You won't never find yourself doing them things if you're born again. Never. Someone said, well, can you prove that by the Bible? Well, the Bible said, I'm dead to the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go out here in the graveyard and talk to any of them dead folks you want to and ask them how many of them in there had been wanting to get up and walk around. How many of them been wanting to drink and eat and frolic? The Bible said the dead know not anything. If you're dead, you don't know anything about the world. Not a thing. Not a thing. If you do know something, then you're not dead. But them that are dead to the world, they know not anything. They are in heaven. They don't listen in on the world. They have no communications with the world. There's nothing about the world that they're connected with at all. Not anything at all. And that is, as to say, the inner man, he's sealed by the Spirit of God. He doesn't know anything about iniquity because he doesn't have anything to do with it. The Bible said that where these things are, there's not even a conscience of sin. Which means if I said Frank's unconscious, he's not even conscious of life, or he's not even conscious of what's going on. See, they have no conscience of it. How could they then think on the world? All right, let's stand together and let's love the Lord. My advice to you is to get straightened out. Come to God. Get born again and follow after God and get the right kind of want to in your heart. Get the want to of God in your heart. If you are a believer, you are making an effort to come to God and Satan is aggravating you or trying to tempt you, then what you need to do is come to God, get filled with His Spirit, and once you're filled with His Spirit, it won't bother you at all. Won't bother you at all. It's like rain on a duck's back. The duck just closes up his feathers. The rain just rolls right off of him. He can be in water up to his neck. It doesn't bother him at all because his feathers has that inner part of him closed out. Or that is closed in and the rain closed out. And that's the way it is with us. The body is dead. It stands between Satan and between your soul or your inner man. And it is dead. And Satan cannot work through it to get to you at all. There's no consciousness of sin. As to the man that's born of God is the inner man. So there's not going to be any want to as to the world. There's not going to be any thoughts. Not one thought as to the world. Not one desire. There's not going to be one desire as to the world. And when Satan is beaten on the outside and the storm is coming and the lightning and the thundering, you're safe on the inside. You don't have to worry about it. Let's sing the little chorus. Somebody said, well, I can prove you wrong. Well, you sure need to. My blood would be on your hands if you didn't, if you know better. And if you wait till day after tomorrow, you waited too late. Something could happen to me before then. You say, well, when should I tell you? Right now is an open house. Right now. Well, you should tell me right now. You should give me scripture and verse or tell me right now. Show me where it's the Bible. While we sing, you think it over. If you can think of it, you tell me. Let's sing together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Just come in. To my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord. The altars are open as we sing, and you're welcome to come. Everything is fine with you. Everybody's fine. That's great. You know, It is true that when we stop and think, we're convicted of our own hearts. And we know that there's none good but God. We know that. When we stop and think, we know there's none good but God. And people that does not allow this to rule and reign in their lives, that's to move them, those people don't have anything from God. And don't fret yourself because of these people. Whatever you do, you just go on with God, walk on with the Lord, and keep your heart clear. Because this is an individual affair, and every man is going to be rewarded according to his faith and conscience, and according to his works, and according to his deeds. And the Bible said according to his deeds, what he does, he's going to be rewarded, he's going to be justified, or he's going to be condemned according to his deeds. And the Bible said, them that trouble you, I'll trouble them, and they'll be cut off from among you. God will cut them off. Just give him a little time, and he'll cut them off. They trouble you, he'll trouble them. Don't worry, don't fret yourself. The Bible said, fret not thyself because of the wicked or the evildoers. Soon they'll be cut down, and you'll look for them, and they won't be there. They'll be driven away like the chaff with the wind. And they'll be troubled, always trouble, always problems. There'll be a continuation of trouble and problems for those people. And they'll learn to leave you alone. So let's just stay steadfast in our hearts and in our lives. Let God lead us and guide us. Make sure that everything is well with us. The Bible said that if you want things to be well with you and you want to continue in peace and safety and the blessings of the Lord, then he said, hear my word. I would that you would listen to what I say, he said, that it might be well with you and your children all the days of your life. To believe what I'm telling you will prosper. To take God into your heart and to consider the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. This is called pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father. The others will be like driftwood on the river. They'll be like chaff the wind blows about. They'll never prosper. If you see a man or woman that can't prosper, always in need, always up against it, always, they can't seem to find food and shelter, clothing, or a resting place, it is because that person is evil. See, and they are covering their sins by religious attire. The Bible said, he that covereth his sins, he shall not prosper. He shall not prosper. But he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, the Bible said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man or woman, it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter. Whatever they do shall prosper. But he said, not so with the wicked. For the wicked shall be like the chaff that the wind bloweth about. Unstable in all of their ways. Never doing anybody any good. Never being a light for God. Not having the Spirit of Christ that God can fellowship. Always a wandering star, a troublemaker, a problem. Never having any peace. But the Bible said there's no peace to the wicked. No peace to the wicked. They can't find any peace. Never do they have peace. The Bible said they are like the mire that the ocean waves cast up upon the banks of the ocean. And there's no peace for them. Never. All of the prayers that they pray, though they be ever so religious, he said, they are abomination in my sight. I don't listen at them. Though they be very religious, even as Cain who brought his offering. All of their offerings, he said, are abomination in my sight. As Cain's offering, it was abomination in the sight of God. And when Cain complained, the Bible said, if thou doest well, wouldst thou not be accepted? But if thou art not accepted, doesn't that mean that sin lieth at the door? So then you will prosper if you follow God and listen to the ministry. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes? I'm not going to keep you long tonight. When I think about the righteousness of God, how that He has saved me, what He has done for me, how that He has let His Spirit come into my life, I think of amazing grace. And brethren, let me tell you tonight, no matter how much you've fasted, how religious you've been, wherever you've been, what you've said, how long you've been in religion, let me tell you, if you don't have Christ's Spirit, you're none of His. Which means there is no righteousness for you. There is no eternal life. Life is given to Him alone, the promise to Him, as one and not many. And that, as He, the hope of your glory or eternal life. So then, I ask you to let the Lord come into your heart. Let Him come in. Invite Him into your heart. And trust in His righteousness. And cease from your own works, that you may enter into His rest, which is by faith, because of unbelief. They were cut off in the wilderness. And the Bible said God swore they should not enter into His rest, which Canaan was a type of, because of their unbelief and afraid of the giants. And they did not enter in. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. And they went down to the pit. But as to the youth, as to the children, they believed on God and they believed in His strength, that He was able to keep, as Paul said, that which He had committed to Him against that great day. So then you that have God's Spirit, love Him, and like the apple tree, bear much fruit. He said, it's my will that you bear much fruit. Bear much fruit as to the fruits of righteousness and love and peace and joy and meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, brother, sisterly love, these kind of things, you know. And let it not be once named among you as to anything that is done in secret, in that it is a shame for you to even speak of those things that are done in secret, as of discussing those things with one another. And let God richly live in your heart, being rooted and grounded in the truth. Because the coming of the day of the Lord is nigh, very close. So don't take any chance in losing your salvation. I'm going to sing together with our eyes closed, our hands lifted to heaven. Amazing grace, how sweet Thy sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. You know, to be Christ-like is the right way, folks. And if you got Christ in your heart, you're going to do righteous things. You're going to think righteous things. You're going to have a righteous conversation. Your conversation is going to be in heaven. Your thoughts are going to be heavenly. Your doings is going to be heavenly. And like I said to somebody the other day, we talking to a number of the brethren, I said, brethren, we talk about being like the Lord Jesus. I said, in here we run after an old automobile and put $7,000 to $10,000 into it, and people dying and going to hell, and we run after homes and we buy nice homes and people dying and going to hell. and we eat and frolic and spend, and we say that that is Christ's nature, that that's the way that Jesus would do if he was here, that I'm acting like the Lord Jesus, we fuss, we fight, we gossip, we backbite, we revel, we do the things that's so ungodly, and we say that's Christ-like, when the word Christian means Christ-like. We go and watch ungodly things on TV, listen at them on the radio, think of them in our mind, go out to these places, even out to the shopping centers, the shopping malls every week, some of you go. There's beaches that you could go out on that would be more godly than those places. But you go and just wander around in them things because of the hunger of the world and the hunger of satanic things, because Satan loves the things of the world. And you say that's Christ-like. You know that's not Christ-like. In the early church, when they gave themselves continually from house to house, breaking bread and fasting and praying, I mean day and night, to bring every thought into subjection, to give their bodies continually to God as a living sacrifice, which was called a reasonable service, sold all that they had, laid it down at the apostles' feet, didn't say that anything they had was theirs, had their mind on nothing but God. Paul said, and you took to the spoiling of your substance, because you knew that you had a better substance in heaven as to share with the needy. And yet you're running around after jobs and businesses to try to make money, not to give to God. The Bible said labor that you might have to give to God. If you was buying an automobile because you needed an automobile, and you needed that car to go out and win a soul or do something for God, if you really truly needed that to go win a soul, that would be wonderful. And you was going to use it for God and dedicate it to God. If you was buying a house because you really needed a place to live, and you was trying to get into a position or in a place to where you could share that with God and people that needed help, you know, that would be wonderful. Folks, in anything that you've done or invested in, not being a hypocrite, telling yourself that so that you could clear your conscience, knowing your gullible desire was just to buy, to have, or to do, or to be comfortable in the flesh. Whereas the Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion, not just to be at ease in Zion, but really, truly, trying to do something for God. If you bought clothes out of need, or to share with somebody, or if you made money that you might share with somebody or help somebody, you know, folks, that would be fine. Wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. But when you make money because you got a business and you enslave your brothers and you pay him a salary and you take X amount of dollars in that this is a business and you're going to make a profit off of him, you are wretched. You're wretched. Don't ever tell yourself that you ain't wretched. You're wretched. You should share with him down to the dollar as to what the overhead takes, you should take out and share with him. But if you've got a business and you've got brethren that are willing to work together, that you might make money to help a widow or an orphan, or that you might do something for God, that's wonderful. That's like a man told me yesterday. He was trying to help somebody that had a poor little old house, several acres of ground. He went and done a job for the man. The man kept asking over and over, said, when are you going to send me the bill? A year went by, still hadn't sent the bill, and he kept saying over and over, I want to know when you're going to send me the bill. Finally, he didn't send any bill, and the man sickly finally said, I just wished I could find the house up where you live. I just move up there. And so the man had a house. So he traded him his house for his little old house. And his house was a nice house. So he went down to see what he could do with the 3 acres he got from the man. And he decided just to ask in the community what the property was worth. So he asked. And the man up above him said, well, our property is worth $120,000 an acre. Said, no need to try to get us to come down. So that's bottom dollar. So he asked somebody, said, well, what can I get for my 3 acres? He had the real estate man out there. He said, well, I can get you $300,000 for it. And if we divide it up in lots or whatever, said, I can get you more. Trying to help somebody And the Lord immediately turned $300,000 into his hands. Folks, we're so gullible trying to take something from somebody, swindle and cheat, and even that of our own brethren, knowing that if we do it to the least of these, we do it to God. Just think when you go around on your job every day. You say, praise God, here's Jesus working for me over here, and here's Jesus working for me over here, and Jesus is working for me over there. Man, I got to make all the money I can off of them fellas. But I can't afford to let them quit. Can't you just imagine that? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. You wouldn't have them to do you like that. I'm sure that you wouldn't do Jesus that way. And yet you are doing Jesus that way. You do it to the least of them, you do it unto me. And you enslave Jesus. Just like when they enslaved the children of Israel. They did it unto the Lord and he destroyed the whole place. Somebody says, but bless God, Brother Pike, I got to make $1,000 off of them. You got to realize this is business, Brother Pike. We've got to make a little money off of them. Who told you that? Where did you read it? You might have got it out of some school book. But where did you read it in the Bible? Who told you that? Where did them thoughts come from? Where did you hatch that thing up from? So, well, everybody does that. I know, because that's the ways of the world. The Bible said, choose not the ways of the heathens. That's the ways of the heathens. You love the Lord? The early church, they had all things common. Somebody says, well, that's the way I see it. I don't intend to work. I don't intend to do anything. I just intend to leech from one brother or sister to another. I intend to get everything I can while others work. Because I believe in all things common. That is, if you've got anything, you ought to divide it with me. I tell you, there ain't a worse devil that ever walked the earth. But when you try to work, and the other man tries to work, and you try to do a job, whether it's for God or in the natural, whatever you're laboring that you might have to give, and everybody's trying to do something to share one way or another, brethren, and you're trying to live the best you can, and share that it might bring to pass the scripture, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. That's going to be a happy church. That's going to be a church to be raptured. When we get like that, God's going to rapture the church because the early church will be restored to what it left. I'm glad to see Bryant here. Bryant's a young fellow that's given his heart to God. He's took the fear of God. Very fine person. And he's down at the altar tonight. I'm so glad to have him here. Three of them that I talked to that night. Like Jesus, when he healed the leopards, I said, where's the other two? There was three of them. Only Brian has really turned back to worship God and to thank God in that God forgave his sins, hope him and give him an understanding. All right, I'm not trying to weary you. Your patience. Let's just lift our hands again. Close our eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Eugene to come if he will. And as Gene comes to pray, Gene came to be with us here a number of months ago, and he's really, truthfully tried to dedicate his life and help. And we've enjoyed out of the garden so many wonderful things because of his labor. Sister Frances was even bringing stuff in, I believe, this morning or yesterday out of the garden. Sister Frances, she's a worker. She don't believe in being lazy. That's one thing that Brother Gilbert can be thankful for. He sure don't have a lazy wife. She ever since I've known her to be here, she outworked two or three of these younger women. Just outwork them. And she likes to keep things tidy and clean, for which I'm so grateful and so thankful as to an example to the others. And tonight, let me encourage you ladies. Let me encourage you young girls. Do a little something. Even young girls, give a Sister Frances and water a flower or plant a flower or dig around it or do something, You young girls, train your mind. Get with Sister Deanna. She makes all kind of cookies and goodies. Let her teach you something. We did have a home ec class around here. I don't know exactly what happened to it. But we had a young girls, was trying to train them. And we did have a little college around here where I was training my young boys. It got all kinds of things. One of the best systems that you could ever have in the colleges. Even like Chuck said in Caltech, he didn't have an on-the-job training to where he could just study video and have the practicalities of those kind of things. We got just about everything. Yeah, there's hardly anything. We've got some now that's getting their A&P. One I heard say today was fixing to get his A&P in a little while. Even to train our brethren in the colleges as to airplane mechanic. I used to do some of that when I was in the Air Force. And train you in all kinds of things. There's hardly anything that you could need training in, but what we wouldn't have it here. You know, we got numbers of new computers and was going to get some more so that you could be trained in on the computers. Chuck promised me that he trained some of me, and my Susie's learning it real well. My wife and some of the others, some of them aren't going to mess with the computers. You give them a program for their office. They're not going to run that thing. They're just going to stay in the same old wilderness and die in the wilderness. You know, when they need to get down to business and everything we're doing and stop trying to live in their heads and get their heart into what they're doing. You know, one of the problems we have at Bethlehem is some of you don't have your heart in it. You've got your head in it, you know, and you get a good notion to do something or you say something or you say, I love the Lord, and you come out to do something, but because your heart is somewhere else after a while, wherever your heart is, that's where you go to. And they find you over there where your heart's at, and you leave the things of God. So if your heart's in making money and business or being some prestigious person, you know, you're going to be there. You're not going to be out here doing anything out here. You just always have an excuse. So as Gene comes to play with you tonight, let's get our heart into this thing, folks. Let God purify your heart, because it's by faith of heart. Faith is of the heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then the confession is made unto salvation. But if you don't believe unto righteousness, all your confessions is but a lie. It's coming from your heart, but what you're doing, you're telling a lie. You're saying something that isn't true. But when you get God in your heart, the mind of Christ in your heart, then your confession will be as of a truth unto salvation.